TNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Oh, boy, it's hard. It's hard to not just, we were having a conversation here, but we'll have a little bit more of that later on. We're talking about Feinstein
and Cruz. We just have to be very careful in what we say now.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and then you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. Today is what, March 16th, 2013, and you're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire radio. I guess it's now community radio for the North State.
That's right.
Very good.
Or you can say community talk radio for
community
the North State.
Community talk radio. Community, actually, information radio. Beep, 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 beep.
There you go.
Except for Ernie and Dave, we're not sure what kind of community radio that is.
We can't say that on the air, probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Have to
what,
be careful.
I'm not sure what part of the community they're actually a part of.
It's a very unique part of the community.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Bob, our trusted soundboard operator and all around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Very good, very good. And let's see, we're streaming worldwide. If you want to listen via the radio or via your computer, not the radio, go to the chat room at 1460kcnr.com.
KCNR 1460.com.
Oh, there you go. Well, just one in front of the other, you'll get it. Let's see. Have we got any veterans events?
Yes, we do. We have Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day coming on March 30th. And that's going to start at 10 a.m. at the Shasta County Veterans Hall. And that's located at 1605 Yuba Street here in Reading. They also will be having a ceremony up at the Veterans Cemetery at 10:30. I know Missing America Project will be doing the escort on that. So,
well,
hope to see you out there.
What's going on at the tea party on Monday night? Anybody know?
You know, to be honest, I don't know right now. I guess maybe, I'll find out here.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out or get somebody to call in and let us know what's going on. Let's see. Anything else? Well, let's see. I got a quote here, and let's start with that. And it is, we hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office.
That's so true at the moment.
You know, and that's Aesop. So that ought to tell you about how long this has been going on. You know, Aesop's fables, Greek, you know, way back in the day, you know.
That history stuff. I forget that. Yeah,
yeah, you know, all that good stuff that we talk about here. And and we're in recovery.
Yep.
Just listen to CNBC. Buy stocks. Life is good. The economy's coming back.
Market's up again.
Real estate's coming back. Really? I mean, if you guys believe that, you're not paying much attention. So it's just interesting out there, how screwed up this whole thing is. And, you know, and the denial, you know, I'm looking at an article here from the Economic Collapse blog.com. And the top says, right now we are living in a bubble of debt-fueled false prosperity that allows us to continue to consume far more wealth than we produce. But when the bubble bursts, we are going to experience the most painful economic adjustment that America has ever gone through. So, you know, there's signs of the recovery coming, you know. Yeah, and if we would actually get rid of the debt, you know, get rid of the money printing, you know, America would probably come back really strong, because America for generations now has had prosperity. So you just can't kill it overnight. But the real deal is that they will not talk about this $85 billion that's being printed every month as being a problem. If they stop bailing out the banks and propping up the economy, this whole thing's going to collapse overnight. And so, it amazes me how people can just keep listening and it's getting better, it's getting better, it's getting better. But all the underlying things that we talk about as far as employment, look around you for gosh sakes and tell me that things are getting better. Well, maybe in little isolated segments here but this is not about just making money. This is about correcting structural problems that we've had for a long time that are building up, you know, and these guys are clueless up in Washington, I think, or they're trying to sink the economy and they're traitors.
Yeah, I don't think they're clueless. You know, I think they have a plan here.
Well, I mean, you know, you talk about the Department of Homeland Security buying up all these bullets. They're buying more and more bullets now. And they're buying them to the point of that, it's like 6 bullets now for every person in the United States is what they have. And you know, with the backdrop of a sequester where they're trying to cut expenses, they'll cut the schooling and the educational loans and help to the veterans.
Yes.
But they won't cut the food stamps to illegal Mexicans on the border.
You see a problem with that?
Yeah, I see a real problem with that, because if these guys are in charge of this stuff that are implementing this, it's like, really? So you're for America and you're not a traitor? Because at some point in time, you have to come to the realization with the backdrop of all this stuff of not following the Constitution. This, you know, we're talking, this is the most transparent, regime in the history of, really? Are you kidding me? Anybody who believes that is a moron. Okay, and they don't study anything other. Let's just plug our heads into the news, and they'll tell us the truth there. Yeah, really, really. So,
well, that seems to be a major problem here.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at some of these things that these guys have been saying. I mean, you know, I got 30 quotes that are so stupid you don't know whether to laugh or cry coming out of Bernanke. Okay. Some of this you just
You can't make it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is February 15th, 2006. Housing markets are cooling a bit. Our expectations that the decline in activity or slowing in activity will be moderate and house prices will continue to rise. That's February 15th of 06. Okay. This is January 10th of 08. The Federal Reserve is not currently forecasting a recession. here's another one. Okay. One myth is that is out there is that what we're doing is printing money. We're not printing money. And then.
Oh, we're not.
No,
he's not doing that.
They're not printing money. It's just all digital entries into the computer.
Well,
that's
true.
It doesn't really matter, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, the U.S. government, okay, this is November 21st of 2002. This is a couple years after that last one. The U.S. government has a technology called a printing press, or today its electronic equivalent, that allows us to produce as many U.S. dollars as it wishes at no cost. So they're not really printing money. They're just producing dollars, which isn't exactly the same as printing money. Sort of different, only kind of the same, but we don't really do that, okay?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
We would never think about doing something like that.
Here's another one. The money supply is not changing in any significant way. What we are doing is lowering interest rates by buying treasury securities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're not really changing the money supply, but we're borrowing money that they printed out of thin air from the Fed, or its equivalent of printing by creating digital entries into a computer that ends up on somebody's bank account called the United States. And we'll sell them treasuries. So we'll sell them a promise to pay backed by,
a piece of paper that's not worth anything.
That's not worth anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's not changing the money supply at all. That's just business as usual at the Fed. So let's see what else we got. Well, let's go to a break and we'll come back with Greg Hunter's USA Watch and listen to that. And then we'll see. We're supposed to have our guest here this morning as Patrick Jones. I'm not sure where he's at, or his alarm might,
who knows? I think I might give him a call here.
Yeah, give him a call and see what's going on. Otherwise, we'll just do our little tap dance that we do every week.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Stadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Valia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Everyone here at Bastiani Arms wants you to know that we're proud to be your local gun shop. There's a special feeling running a small shop. It gives us a chance to spend more time with you, getting to know your needs, your shooting habits, helping us become the best shop we can for you. It also allows us to order just what we need. Keeping our overhead down means keeping our prices down, tailoring everything in the store for you, the customer. We'd like to remind you, it's never too early to learn gun safety, so bring the family down because we'd love to meet them. Bastiani Arms, Larkspur Lane, 222-8222. Join the revolution.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This Sunday, we welcome back Vicki Davis. She's an expert on technocracy, which she describes as technocratic, tyrannical systems of control being implemented in this country. We'll talk about technology transfer as an economic engine and global system of welfare for the elites. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I would like to thank all of our loyal customers that pay their bills on time. Now that summer's back for a while, we're selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 for the weed eaters, lawnmowers, and chainsaws. And we have urea fluid for all the diesel pickups and big rigs. Knowing that winter will be back soon, please check your kerosene tanks and be sure you're on the top side. You don't want to run out of fuel on Sunday. If you're one of those people who have a propane bottle rolling around in the back of your vehicle, ask Gary about a propane foot. We have them on sale. If you see construction going on in the Redding or Corning plants, don't be afraid. Come on in and we'll take care of you. NorthernLightsEnergyInc.com. The only place you need to think about for all your heating and petroleum needs. 241-2196. And thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Time to lock and load. Time to get control. Time to search my soul and start again.
I think we're locking and loading. Is that what we're doing, Bob?
We are locked and loaded, sir.
We're locked and loaded. And always, every time I hear that phrase, lock and loaded, it always reminds me of the range and the sergeants down there, you know, lock and load one 30-round clip and look down range, select your target, put it on. While they're walking around with those sticks hitting people in the head. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, boy. So we're back and, This is 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. I guess I'll get used to that. And we're going to listen to Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog now in his weekly wrap-up, because I think this is just such a great segment. I just love listening to this guy every week. And he does a good job of capsulizing a week's worth of political garbage so that we understand what happened. So
we can digest it a little bit.
Absolutely. So go ahead there, Bob, and cue him up.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, March 15th, 2013. Well, the stock market has been hitting high after high, day after day this past week, so the economy must be fixed, right? Happy days are here again? Wrong. You know, listen, I've been watching the mainstream media and watching all the coverage of this day after day, new high on the S&P, new high on the Dow, and there's hardly a mention of the enormous money printing by the Fed. I mean, that's what's underpinning the economy. That's what's underpinning the markets and holding these interest rates down. It's $40 billion a month by the fraud and mistakes of bankers and mortgage-backed securities, and $45 billion each and every month. This is open-ended, folks. That's what the Fed says. $45 billion a month equaling $85 billion each and every month the Fed is putting out, and this is going to, well, things get better, or infinity, whichever comes first. Now, you know, there's another story out there that says, hey, the banks are buying their own stocks back. Where do they get the money? Do you think it might be coming from the $40 billion a month that the Fed is paying to the banks to buy their sour debt, the mistakes of bankers? Yeah, I think so. Well, the Fed money printing is propping up the economy. How do I know that? Well, they can't stop it. If they did, the economy would implode. Interest rates would spike. Here, how about this question at the Senate hearing, the hearings that they had with Ben Bernanke? And they should have asked him a couple of these questions. Number one, Mr. Bernanke, we would like not to cut spending. This would be coming from maybe a Democrat. We would like to not cut spending. So can we please take just 2 months of that banker bailout, $80 billion a month, and we wouldn't have to cut hardly anything at all. Just 2 months and divert it to spending for these programs that we say we really need for the economy. You think he'd do that? No. Why? Because he's bailing out the banks. They need to be supported. How about we just take 1 month, $85 billion, and divert it so we don't have to have any spending at all? Could we do that? No. Why not? Because interest rates would spike and the economy would implode. Period. The end. Here's another question they should ask the Fed chief. Excuse me, Mr. Bernanke, could you please tell me to which banks you're giving this $40 billion a month to buy their sour mortgage debt? I guarantee you he wouldn't answer. Why? Because he'd be afraid of a run on those banks. And I have to hand it to the New York Post. Check this out. Here's the headline they came up with. Now, you know things are getting bad when a mainstream media outlet comes up with a headline that says, a bull beep market. And it says right there that basically Fed's money printing is, it's a disconnect from the economy. Look, he's got a matador, you know, a little outfit on. You know, they photoshopped his head on there. And it says that the Fed-fueled rally is a disconnect from the economy. Now, you think about this. We're hitting all-time highs on the stock market, and we're hitting all-time record highs with people on food stamps. I mean, more than 47 million people, one in six in this country, on food stamps. That's unbelievable. Really, quite unbelievable. I love this headline down here, too. This is another headline, too, that talks about how there's $238 trillion in U.S. liabilities, unfunded liabilities. We're talking about Medicaid and Medicare and the banker bailouts and $238 trillion. Lawrence Kotlikoff at Boston University pegs it at about, $222 trillion. Well, it's a big number. It's a huge number. There's no way we're ever going to pay that bill. There's no way we're ever going to cover those costs. Next story, President Obama is warning that Iran could have a nuclear weapon within a year, and he also warned, and I quote, we don't want to cut this thing too close. Now, that's a definite hint that we could be at war if the Iranians don't knuckle under with their nuclear program. We could be at war with the Iranians within a year. That is a bit frightening. and really not covered much on the mainstream media. Now, Iran is not going to be like Iraq. Can the U.S. military defeat Iran? Yes. Is it going to be messy and a global disaster and ugly? You betcha. Iran is not Iraq. And they've been getting ready for this, I would probably bet, since the very first time we went into Iraq and invaded them. For sure they've been getting ready because, you know, we went into Iraq on their eastern border and Afghanistan on their western border. So that would make them a little nervous, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would be a global disaster if no matter who fires the first shot. Democratic Senator Patty Murray has come up with a budget, and it only calls for, an increase of 62% in spending over the next 10 years, you know, like $162 billion in next year's budget alone of more spending. What part of unsustainable do they not get? That's completely and totally, I mean, Simpson-Bowles, the bipartisan commission, the debt reduction commission, came up with $4 trillion in tax increases and spending cuts. They weren't spending cuts. And more spending cuts and tax increases. That's $4 trillion. That only slowed the growth of government. Hey, we're going to turbocharge it. It's going to be 62% higher in just 10 years. It's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, Congress is living in a fairy tale world. And I contend that they won't reach a deal, no matter what this love fist is, you know, President Obama taking out these Republican, you know, senators, and that, you know, has a charm offensive. I don't care what he does. I don't care what the Democrats or Republicans do. I don't think either side will agree on the amount of tax increases or the amount of spending cuts that each side wants. And they will continue the blame game theater. That's what I call it. The blame game theater until the economy eventually implodes. And take note of this. I've saved the best for last. Last, not least, that you think we can continue to borrow and spend money and print money? Well, the world is holding, basically the Asian world, mostly, and the world is holding a global sustainable currency summit, a global sustainable currency summit in China in September, at the end of the month. You know what the theme is? Let me read it to you. And this is their theme on their website. You can find it on my site. The theme is, from money chaos to global currency. Let that sink in. From money chaos to global currency. Where do you think this will leave the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency after they get done implementing their plans? They have a plan. Russia is buying gold and doesn't let out any of their gold, so gold supply, their money supply. China, same thing, buying gold, not letting any of their money supply. India, buying gold. Mexico, buying gold. Korea, buying gold. Brazil, buying gold. Everybody's buying gold. Why? Because gold is going to come back into the monetary system. That's what all the central banks are signaling. That's what people like Jim Sinclair is saying. That's what other people, Jim Willey, experts, these are all learned people, market experts. Gold's coming back into the monetary system. You can't continue to print little slips of paper and buy oil and tennis shoes and electronics from the world without somebody saying, hey, whoa, 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 wait a minute, you got to pay us in something real. That's going to be a sad day for the dollar, and most Americans are going to be blindsided by this. If we don't fix this problem, the world's going to fix the problem. And what they're going to do, they're going to do the same thing that happened to Detroit. You know, Detroit has $14 billion in bond debt. You think they can sell any more bonds? Print money. You think they can print any more money? They're under. They've become a ward of the state of Michigan. You think Detroit can print any more bonds, sell any more of their bonds? No. No, they're done. No. And that's the tip of the iceberg for America. And the world is going to call BS on the BS eventually. That's the way I see it. I want to thank everybody for clicking on ads and the few people that touched the donation button and helped us out. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for supporting USA Watchdog. That's the way I see it. I'm Greg Hunter.
Very good, Greg. I just want to read a couple things here. This is from the Economic Collapse blog.com. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. 10 hilarious examples. I'm not going to go through all 10 of how clueless our leaders are about the economy. Number one, Federal Reserve, or this is actually number two, Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke has been proclaiming his belief that the U.S. economy will continue to grow. Number three. Although Bernanke has such a nightmarish track record of failure, Warren Buffett still has faith in him. In fact, Buffett loves all of the money printing that Bernanke's been doing. Number four, Barack continues to insist we do not have a debt crisis. Really? There's no debt crisis. We could balance the budget anytime.
Sure.
No problem. Just print up a couple $200-300 trillion and it'll balance right up.
You just gotta hit the zero button on your computer. Although
a loaf of bread's gonna cost you $1,000, what the heck? Who cares?
Yeah.
So, unfreaking believable. Anyway, we're gonna go to a break and come back with our guest, Patrick Jones, and we're gonna talk about, guns and ammo and Senate hearings and anything, that we like.
This is KCNR, 1460.
He just got in the studio, by the way.
Oh. That's the way it happens. This is the way we roll.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis. Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now, and are the good.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Don't call the 800 number. Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, a hop with the hop. You get the dispensation of the nation with the hop.
There's a whole new take on mobile technology. The Hopper from Dish. Transfer DVR recordings to your iPad with the new Hopper Transfer app. And check out the Explorer app that lets you interact with your TV through your iPad. Watch everything and go anywhere with the all-new Hopper.
You can store it, you can view it, you can really room to room it with a hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is as smooth as with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kicks with the hop.
For calling B&T Satellite at 244-1988. That's 244-1988. Don't call the 800 number.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Well, it seems like more and more we're being stifled. All them colorful words I once used now are wrong. So before we lose our free speech and our rifles, allow me to elaborate in this song. Life ain't nothing like a bowl of cherries. There's too little laughter and too much sorrow. It's more like a jar of jalapenos. 'Cause what you do and say today, it don't go away and stay. It'll just come back and burn your ass tomorrow.
I was wondering if you're going to fade that out, Bob. I'm glad you didn't.
Well, I would have ruined the whole point of it.
Anyway, we have Patrick Jones with us in the studio now. And good morning, Patrick. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Sorry I was late, but I've been drinking a lot lately.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
You know, I had an easy button like 6 years ago, and I gave it away, and, man, I wish I had it back.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It ain't going to be easy out there from now on, that's for sure. Have you – what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the gun event coming up or
– Well, sure. You know, that's been a pleasure for me to be chairman of the Redding Chapter of Gun Owners of California. And we have our event next Saturday, and we're just – about sold out. So very happy that we had an event, a banquet that we had so much response that we'll probably have to turn people away next week. And that's never really happened before with this event. And it's just a sign of the times of what's happening in Sacramento. And we are going to be under attack this year like we've never seen before. And people are recognizing that, and they're coming forward, and they're tired of what's happening. And now they're starting to say, you know what, we have to take some action, that they're actually going to do something. And so that's a very positive sign. We've got a great banquet coming up next Saturday, the 23rd, at the VFW Hall, behind the Lady Lorenz, next to the post office. And, it's going to be a superb banquet, lots of fun. Sam Paredes from GOC will come down and give a legislative update. And all the products, I'm so happy with all the products in the event, all the live auction items, all the general rifle items, are all made in America.
And that's the 23rd, at 6.
Saturday, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. at where?
The doors open actually at 4:30 and dinner begins at 6. So you want to show up a little early to get your raffle tickets and take part, of some of the activities that we have going before. So doors open at 4:30 at the VFW Hall, downtown Redding. Few tickets available, but not many.
Very good. Very
good.
That's
1605 Yuba Street.
Correct. Yeah, I think, you know, we've had a little bit of outrage fatigue for quite some time. I think we need to have that shift, you know, right into a good mad here. And I'm thinking that's what's starting to happen.
Well, and I tell you, when you start taking a look at these assembly bills and these Senate bills, there's going to be no going back from these bills if they're passed, and if gun owners do not come forward and say enough is enough, these are unconstitutional, and we will not do it. Our sheriffs are already starting to come forward. We have at least 12 sheriffs that have written these letters saying we are not going to enforce laws that are unconstitutional because we cannot. They have taken an oath because we have the Constitution of the United States, and they value that. But we're talking about full gun registration, ammo registration. And when I use the word registration, I don't use that lightly. Most people do not understand what registration means. For example,
it's different than what we have now.
That's right. Yeah. Today, when you buy a firearm at your local gun shop, you do a background check. And the government is supposed to destroy that information within 10 days by federal law. And we'll get into that a little bit later because they're not. And that is a crime in and of itself. But nevertheless, it's a background check. It is not a registered firearm. Registered firearms in the United States, for example, are registered machine guns. That is a registered product where they have your name, your address, the make, model, and serial number of the firearm, and they keep it in a database and they keep a file on it. Starting 2014, January 1st, coming up at the end of this year, all long guns, for example, become registered guns, where they, meaning the state, the Department of Justice in Sacramento, will get to keep your name on file, a database, a dossier on you, if you will, and make, model, and serial number of every long gun you buy thereafter, keeping a database for you to help you, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course. This is all for your own good. It's always for your own good.
The government is there to help you, so they're going to create a database. And, of course, with registration, they can and have the ability in the future to ask that you show registration ownership papers in the field, just like your automobile. In fact, it's required by law that you have automobile registration in the automobile and, of course, what accompanies that every year, a fee. And so we're moving in that direction right now, and we're starting to see that take shape today. In fact, on the national scene, you're starting to hear the vice president talk about registration. And what it all leads to is control and a change of this industry like you've never seen before. And it's the biggest issue facing freedom today.
Yeah, you know, I just got emailed a letter that have you read this letter from Doug LaMalfa to Napolitano?
I may not have seen that one yet.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, it's a letter that talks about why and asks the question, Dear Secretary Napolitano, it has become clear that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is purchasing vast quantities of ammunition, considerably more than the historic use which it just needed. Over the past 10 months, more than 1.6 billion rounds have been acquired, and recently the department posted another solicitation for additional large purchases of ammunition. Unfortunately, the department has yet to explain why ammunition purchases on such an astonishing scale are taking place. Estimates show that this much ammunition would be enough for 24 years of the Iraq War and comes out to 5 rounds for every person in the United States. Aside from being hard to justify, the timing of these purchases is of great interest as well, since, as we all know, that the Obama administration is proposing legislation to further restrict access to firearms and ammunition. The extraordinary level of ammunition purchases made by Homeland Security seems to have, in states such as my own, created an extreme shortage of ammunition to the point where many gun owners are unable to purchase any. Additionally, the department has spent or is asking to spend significant amounts of money on nearly 2 billion rounds of ammunition when across the board spending cuts are scheduled to go in effect under the president's sequester plan. According to your recent public statements, these cuts make our nation more vulnerable to terrorist attacks, and yet the department is still spending money on millions of bullets in addition to the billion and a half we have already sought. In light of these developments, the lack of transparency in question. So you kind of get the idea and the flavor of this letter.
Yeah, Mark, and I have seen that letter now. And what we've known all along is that the government is putting pressure on the industry, and most people don't know that we don't have any government arsenal manufacturers of ammunitions. We have no munition factories like we used to. And so when the government needs ammunition, they don't call up on their own munition factories and have that built. They use the same companies that supply the civilian population for ammo. So that's Federal and Remington and right. Winchester. And so when they call upon a large order, it is a must that they complete it for the United States government. There's heavy penalty when they're not on time and completed with that. And so it does dry up the market to a large extent, and it creates shortages, which then creates cost escalation, which we're certainly seeing today, and it impedes on your ability to have the ammo at home that you want. And
isn't
I think that ultimately that is what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, here. And then let's go. I'm going to read the last part of it. There's only a little more left. In light of these developments, the lack of transparency, and the questions that have been raised pertaining to these purchases, I ask the following questions be answered. This is of Napolitano. For what purpose is the Department of Homeland Security purchasing over 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition? And how many rounds of ammunition does the Homeland Security currently have in its possession? Is the current level of ammunition purchased by the department in line with the previous levels of ammunition purchases made by the department? In response to inquiries into these purchases, has the department redacted, blacked out, or classified certain sections of its solicitations that have been previously available to the public? Number five, there's six of these. Are these purchases being conducted in a manner that strategically denies the American people access to ammunition? And six, how much has Homeland Security spent purchasing ammunition within the last year when it was clear that the department was likely to face a budget cut? Please include the planned expenditures for your current bid solicitations in this figure. I greatly appreciate your attention to this inquiry, Doug LaMalfa, member of Congress. Now, that tells me something. What the heck are these guys doing? I mean, what are they expecting? Where are we going with this? And why would they be interested in purchasing this ammo? I mean, you know, maybe if we're at war, you know, with Iran or something in the Army, but what the heck is the Department of Homeland Security purchasing these things for?
Well, Congressman LaMalfa has got it right, and he's identified the problem. He's asking the right questions, and now he will follow up, and we will see. Now, the question is, what answer will we get, and do we take that answer as the truth? And he's right. He's asking the right questions. He understands the issue. He sees what's happening, and the question is, are they going to try to falsify the information to give us an answer that will calm us down? And much of what happens in Washington, the average person throughout the United States, is not going to get the real answer as to what is going on. But I think we're smart enough to see what's happening.
Yep.
I think what happened with this administration is as they they moved forward and contemplated more restrictions with firearms, they had no idea the amount of extra sales that that would create with the American gun owner, because they do not understand the American gun owner, and they do not understand how many gun owners there are.
Right.
And when they started seeing these numbers start to radically increase, they took strategic effort to curb that by essentially trying to dry up the market through one of their departments, in this case, Homeland Security. So it's pretty obvious what they did. Will they answer to it? Obviously not. These guys are very good with word and wordsmiths, and they will twist that to the point where it's just another event in Washington. But the public understands what's happening. And the question is, what are we going to do? And I think this year, out of all the years that I can remember, that it's going to start affecting every gun owner in the United States to the point where they will be moved to do something.
Yep.
And I think that's what this administration is not planning for.
Well, you know, and I would think that if I was a liberal out there, I'd be getting a little nervous. Why is the Department of Homeland Security buying up all these weapons? Oh, it's all for our own good. And let's go lock arms and sing some kumbaya around the campfire and, you know, have some rainbows.
They're going to protect us,
lollipops.
You know?
It's all for our own good.
Yes.
And, oh, there's no correlation in history where the government implements tyranny and tries to take over. And
you know, this may be the very biggest issue facing the United States ever, because it deals with the core root of freedom.
Yep.
That
it
if
sure
we
does.
Don't have armed Americans in our traditional sense, yeah. that are we really free? And we've seen what happens in other countries, and it's happening right now. And I think people are starting to see that. There's there's a swing in the nation where people are starting to understand that this presidency, this administration, has a very different view on gun ownership and freedom the way we know it.
I think he has the same view that Mao Zedong had. As long as they have all the guns, it's all good, you know, because they don't want them used. They don't, you know, Mao Zedong didn't want the guns used against them because the people that wanted their freedom would fight back if they had guns. And well, you can't have any of that. I mean, because the government is always right. You know, it doesn't matter if you're standing out in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square. You're wrong.
You know, over 200 years ago, the founders of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, the individual right to keep and bear arms, how smart were they?
Absolutely.
To put that there, and very important. And
we let that go, and we have no rights at all.
You know, and so here we are, several hundred years later, dealing with the same things that they warned about.
Yep.
And they did something. They put it into a Constitution that was a guaranteed right.
Yep.
That cannot be taken away. And it's now incumbent upon all citizens of the United States to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, that's why they said they were unalienable rights, not inalienable, but unalienable. And unalienable rights come from God. And the brilliance of that is that if God gives you your rights, it doesn't matter whether you're religious or not. If God gives you your rights, then the only one that can take them away is God, not some bureaucratic despot that thinks that he knows what's best for the rest of us.
You know, and I think we're past the point where people now start to understand, a good majority of gun owners understand, that this is not about a black gun. This is not about a semi-automatic or a lever action or a pump action or a bolt action. We're not talking about different guns. We're talking about the freedom of owning any gun you want.
We got to go to a break, but I just wanted to say before we go to the break, I mean, when did the conversation go from, gee, we're trying to protect the kids in the schoolyards, to, gee, well, let's disarm everybody in America and buy up all the bullets so nobody can protect themselves?
Well, that's if you're not awake.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, if you're not paying attention, that's exactly. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
Did you know that you and your family may be eligible to receive up to $5,800 from the federal government? Low-income individuals and families can receive free income tax assistance from certified preparers and apply for the Earned Income Tax Credit. Board of Equalization member George Runner encourages you to get more information by calling 1-800-906-9887. Once again, that's 1-800-906-9887.
Honey, did you hear something? Honey?
She can't hear me.
Who are you?
I'm the voice of all the money you've been losing by wasting water. Leaking toilet flappers can waste gallons of water and cost you a chunk of change.
So if I just fix my leaky toilets, I can keep all that money?
Well,
Hey, honey, I'm gonna go fix the toilet. No sense in flushing away our money. Learn how to save money and save water at the free Water Smart Workshop, sponsored by the City of Reading Water Utility, on Wednesday, March 20th at City Hall. Learn how to change a toilet flapper, read your water meter, check for irrigation leaks, and more. Drop into the River Conference Room anytime between 11 and 4 and join us in celebrating Fix a Leak Week. A free residential Be Water Smart kit will be available for the first 250 households. This Water Smart Workshop is brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Ever since the days of old, search for wealth untold. They dig for silver and for gold, and leave the empty hole.
I got, you know, I like that John Anderson sound.
Well, Mark, yeah, you can take John Anderson, I'll take Hank Williams Jr.
They both kind of give me chills when I listen to them loud. I really like that Hank Williams song too. That's,
you know, Mark, one of the things that's the hallmark of some of the past governments is creating a good crisis.
Yep.
And you have to have that. And I think that's what we're seeing with this administration today, is that we're creating crisis after crisis.
They're manufacturing them.
And soon a crisis of epic proportion.
Yep.
That will divide and split the nation apart. And, you know, I think back as to how our nation does when we have those types of leaders. And it's horrendous. Instead of a person like a Ronald Reagan that can bring the country together and unify and fix problems and get this nation moving in a good, you know, fiscal responsible way. And, you know, I look at our own city, and I take a look at our unfunded liabilities and our debt. And I see that we're now passing $600 million. I think now if you took a look at the total unfunded liability and debt, we're at roughly $642 million. The state of California is somewhere in the tune of $500 billion unfunded.
It's becoming undeniable. I don't care what the pundits and the liberals and the ideologues out there think. It's becoming undeniable. I don't care, you know, what side of the aisle you're on, but if you aren't looking at the reality here, that we are headed for an economic collapse of epic proportions, I don't think you're looking at the data. You're too busy listening to Kramer on the CNNBC.
You know, I see it here on the local level, and it's been a great opportunity for me to serve on the Reading City Council. And this, you know, and I still think Reading's best days are ahead of us. However, we have got to get our spending under control, and we have not. And so that is my life's mission today, is to control the spending that's essentially runaway at the city level, and we've seen it at the state level and the federal government. Now, I can't affect a lot of change in Sacramento or Washington, but I have the ability, at least one vote, to affect change on the local level.
I think we need to stop taking any money from the feds, period, across the board, learn to live within our means, become self-reliant, period, and wait for Jerry Brown to balance the budget, because this next year it's supposed to be balanced, according to him.
Just because others do something wrong and unsustainable doesn't mean that we should.
Right.
Just because if we don't take the money, somebody else will,
right,
doesn't mean that it's right and that we can afford it. And at some point, we're going to have to do what's right and look today, not tomorrow, to fix the problems, but look at them today and say, you know what, we're going to make these tough decisions today instead of passing this buck off to the future generations. And these money amounts now are growing to the point, you know, and we all have debt. We all buy a home or a car, and we're going to have some debt for a length of time period. But when you take a look at your debt in your own personal lives, you see that debt shrinking. You've got a window, a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're making those payments and those mortgages, and you're working that down.
Right.
We're not seeing that in government.
Not at all.
And
they're creating more and more of it.
Right. And there's no sense of efficiency.
They don't care.
It's wrong, and we have to fix it. We are compelled to fix it. I have 30-plus years in the private sector in small businesses here, or a small business here in Reading, and I use those experiences at City Hall, and I am appalled. I am appalled at what I see, 'cause that tax money, and I've been earning that tax revenue and passing it over to the city to spend it wisely into the state, and what I see is that we're wasting our hard-earned money, and I mean hard-earned.
Yep.
We're talking 10, 12, 14-hour days, 6, 7 days a week. We cannot afford, and this is what's happened. We have not been paying attention. We have allowed these governments to be inefficient only because we have not held them accountable.
Right.
And it's time for a change.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, and you know, I watched the little bit of the Senate hearings this week with Cruz and Feinstein, and I think Feinstein is an example of exactly what we're talking about. She was just absolutely, you know, when she's questioned on, gee, are we following the Constitution? Shouldn't that be the basis of what our law is based on? You know, it's unbelievable. She's, well, I've been here for 20 years. I mean, it's just absolute, and that's the problem in a nutshell. Yeah. They are so arrogant. They are so self, you know, absorbed that they can't make a bad decision in their own mind. They're screwed up.
Our two U.S. senators, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. And the sad part is that Feinstein is smarter than Boxer.
Didn't take as many blows in the ring, I guess.
And I've sat down and had dinner with both of them on
really?
The same day.
I didn't know that.
And that's hard for me to do. But I tell you what, those are the types of leaders that represent California and Washington. And do I need to say more?
Well, they're the type of leaders, just like in Washington, that promise everyone everything so they get the vote to people to vote more entitlements. In the meantime, sure, we sink economically, and they don't care because they're going to be out of office by the time it all catches up.
Plus, they're wealthy beyond you and me can imagine. And so they're no longer thinking really of the public to the point where let's hand this off to the next generation in good financial – let's do our part.
Right.
And they're not thinking in those terms because they're financially set for 10 lifetimes.
Well, and it just come out this last week, and I'm doing a little more investigative reporting on it. You know, what they've been doing at the big levels, you know, right now you can't prosecute any of the bankers because they're too big to fail. Well, it seems like they just allocate 10 to 12% of all the money they make worldwide into bribes into the government so that nobody gets – and they call it fines –
Here we have coming up, we have a closed session item here at City Hall on Tuesday. We have our next council meeting on the 19th. And one of the topics for closed session is contemplation of raises for unrepresented employees.
Unbelievable.
And staff is making those recommendations to council members. And it just continues to go on and on, spending out of control to the point where 75 cents of every dollar that comes into the city of Reading is going for pay and benefits for employees. And we're doing no different than 488 cities in California, and it all leads to the road of bankruptcy.
Yeah, we're going to be Detroit across the nation here pretty soon. And, yeah, Gosh, I wish we had another hour, here. We could go on and on and on and on.
Well, you know, if I wouldn't get, if your guest wouldn't be here, you know, on time.
Yeah, you showed up like an hour earlier.
We'll just have to have you back in the future, Patrick.
All right, well, thank you guys for having me on.
Very good. I think, how much time we got left, Bob? 30 seconds?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. Okay.
Countdown.
Okay, let's see. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
All right, and we'll see y'all next week. This is Sovereign Minds.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Linda. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Meet the Pope. Pope Francis sitting down with reporters at the Vatican for the first time, saying the Catholic Church should be poor and for the poor.
Pope Francis thanked the hundreds of journalists at the Vatican and, straying from his text, said, "Let me tell you a story." He told of how his good friend, Brazil's Cardinal Claudio Humes, hugged him when he was elected and said, "Don't forget the poor." That is when he thought of Francis of Assisi, the 13th century saint dedicated to the disinherited, who made peace with the sultans and advocated living with nature and creation. The Pope joked and told of how other names were suggested, Hadrian the Reformer and Clement the 15th, to avenge Clement the 14th, who banished the Jesuits, his order. He ended with a blessing, saying all were children of God, Catholic and non-Catholic alike. At the Vatican, Courtney Walsh, Fox News Radio.
Word out of South Korea that North Korea has test-fired two short-range missiles into the ocean this